Matthew chapter 16. We're going to read one verse, and that is verse 18. I want to share with you something, and please, this will get a ton better by the time we get to the end. But this is a little bit different message than I preached, and I want to share with you. I took some time, and I wrote down some names. And I want to read you these names. Ella Coburn, Gary Martin, William Bill Walter, Maxine Conley, Bobby Green, Charles Hall, Vaughn Munn, Demi Atkins, Bruce Smith Jr., Shannon Campbell, David Myers, Kenton Staton, Penny Hiles, Jerry Dodds, Becky Bowman, Bill Clifford, Mary Paul, Gerald Fucci, Robert Smith, Gene Selby, Shirley Lewis, Karen Stanley, Thomas Lynch, Peggy White, Karen Tospi, Dolly Campbell, Donna Willis, Effie Jin, Franklin Tolan, Carol Ryder, Kimberly Triggs, Enola Kingery, Alice Horsley, Jane Stover, James Taylor, Vivian Simmering, Patty Howard, Deborah Williams, Lainey White, Joseph Lewis, Roger Berntold, Ricky James, David Bays, William Bill May, James Lauterbach, Jim Hackworth, Irma Perry, John Short, Raymond Kuhn, Don Anderson, Virginia Parker, John Ward, Brian Schultz, Donald Reynolds, Kimberly Copas, Reverend Freddie Bales, Catherine Litz, Ernest Smith, Marilyn Kaufman, Stephen Mowry, Gary Burchett, Henry Bailey, and William Bill Runyon. You probably figured out by the time I started reading into these that these are names of people that have recently passed. Can I tell you, this is how many people that has passed in our county since January 1. 63 people have passed away. And you know who the world would like to add to this list of people that have passed? The Church of the Living God. And to the world, they may think that we are dead. But my title of the message tonight is simply this: the church is still alive. Woo! I don't know if you needed the message this morning, but I'm sure you did, as it was resulted from in our altar calls. And for those of you that maybe have taken it home and gotten some help out of it, I got help out of that this morning. And here's the reason why. A lot of these names I knew personally, and some of them I've had to assist in their funerals. And that's not to mention the ones that just in December and November, we spent a lot of time these past few months at the funeral homes and at gravesides. And the past year, it's been overwhelming. And to be very honest with you, and I'm being transparent as I can, I almost could not take it anymore. And I know I'm your pastor, but I'm also still young in the ministry. And it was overwhelming to me. And my pastor gave me focus today and helped me to understand that, bless God, I get to see these wonderful people again. And even though they're only gone from our sight, bless God, they're still alive. You know why? Because they're a part of the church of the living God. And the world would think that the church is just a small group of people. But may you understand, the church is made up of saints of God that from past, present, and future, we're a lot bigger than what the world would think. Hallelujah. And guess what? We're still alive. Hallelujah. Amen. My wife asked me this week, I'll just be flat out honest with you. I was grumpy. I was grouchy. And when I get grumpy and grouchy, and when I get overwhelmed, I usually just am pretty silent. And so she said, "Are you okay?" I was like, "No, I'm not okay. I'm tired of burying my friends. I'm tired of getting the next phone call." And I said, "I just need some help. I need some encouragement." I know she prays for me. And I'm telling you, without fail, the very next morning I get up and my phone has got two or three text messages from people that I don't normally hear from. But they said, "I had you on my heart this morning." And they said, "We're praying for you." And I told them, I said, "You'll never know what this meant." And I know many of you send text messages and calls all the time encouraging us. And I appreciate that. And I know you're doing that. But sometimes God sends people at the right time in the right place to let you know and encourage you. Hallelujah. Just keep going. Keep marching forward. Why? Because the church is still alive. And one of those text messages came from my good buddy Levi Nelson. And I love that young male with all my heart. And he's got a special place in our hearts. And just to be flat out honest with you, he's been kind of hauling my dad around here lately. They had the same barber. And so he picks him up and they go get their hair cut. And dad talks his leg off for a few hours. But anyway, Levi loves it. But Levi sent me a text message and it was a video. And it was all caps. He said, "Get ready." And I clicked on it. And it was a Bill and Gloria Gaither song, which I've heard many, many times. And it simply says, "The Church Triumphant." And you all know that song. But for some reason, at that point in time, it did something for me. And it birthed a message inside my heart. He said, "That's what you need to tell the folks the next time you get up, is to tell them, we may be battered, we may be bruised, but the church is still alive." Hallelujah. Glory to God. All these lists of people that I read to you that have passed away, they had to die. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die. I only read of two people in the Word of God that ever went to heaven without tasting death. That was Enoch and that was Elijah. Even Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, had to die. But may I submit to you, there's a group of people that when they were birthed, hey, God gave us the promise, we ain't never gonna die. And that's the church of the living God. I haven't even read my text yet. He said in Matthew 16:18, "And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now listen, he didn't say, "I'm going to build it on Peter." No, he didn't say that. He said, "I upon this rock." What was the rock? The rock, and our pastor has said that, the rock was the principle. The principle. The rock was Jesus Christ. He said, upon this principle. What was the principle? Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And yes, he had to die, but hallelujah, he got up 3 days later. And because he got up, he birthed the church of the living God. And guess what? Somebody said, "Well, they're probably sick. Well, they're almost gone. The devil's trying to distract us and deter us and to kill us." But bless God, I got good news tonight. We're still alive. So our objective, and this is a great addendum to Pastor's message this morning, falls right in line with it. Our objective as the Church of the Living God is to remain alive and act like we're alive. So I thought, well, it's safe to say, how do I know if someone's alive? Right? That's the question I asked myself, Todd. I said, how do I know if someone's alive? So I got to thinking. I did some research. Here's what I come up with. It. Do you want to know if we're alive or not? I know you know we are, but it's important to know why, and it's important to know how we are alive. Notice this. If you want to check out if someone's alive or not, if you think they're past, and you have to check out and make sure there's alive, number one, you need a personal touch, and you need to speak to them. So for me, this means if we're alive, that means we get a personal touch from God himself, and we get to hear his voice. So it's about feeling Christ. And people say, well, it's not about feeling. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I'm glad I feel something, don't you? Yeah. Amen. It's obviously some of them haven't felt anything because they haven't been around for a while. So they're going to some other places where they get a feeling. You can tie that in however you want to tie it in, but the truth is the truth. Amen. I'd rather get my feeling at the house of God where I know it's a place that's alive. And listen, I'm not talking about Rubyville Community Church. I'm not talking about other churches. I'm talking about the church of the living God. Those that have been blood bought, sanctified, set apart, going to heaven. That's the church, and we're alive. And I'm glad I can feel his touch. I'm glad I can hear his voice. And hallelujah, the best way we can do that is to get in his word. We've heard some from people this week. They're doing extra Bible studies. They're getting in the word of God. I don't know if you realize this, but there's a group of young ladies back there, and they don't take them long to get going in a service. You know why? A few months ago, they started digging in the word of God. They started having Bible study with one another. And listen, I'm telling you what, folks, it's amazing when you can feel the touch of the living God. And when you hear his voice. Well, I got to move on. Not only do we have to, now I think this was a joke, but somebody wrote in a writing and doing some research. He says, might be a good thing just to go up and kick them to make sure they're alive. I was like, I don't want God to kick me. I'd rather for him just to touch me and speak to me. But there's a personal touch. And then secondly, you check their pulse. You've seen them do it. You've seen them do it on TV shows. That means it's correct, right? No, but normally you go in. When I went in a few weeks ago to get checked out, thought I had the Rona. I just had bronchitis, and ain't nobody got time for that, right? So first thing they did when the doctor walked in, she put her fingers on my ankle. She wasn't just playing footsie with me. She was checking my pulse. Right? Normally I kicked her upside the head because I don't like anybody touching my feet. But I didn't care at that point. I just need some help. So she's checking my pulse. Knowing they'll put it under in your carotid here to make sure you've got a pulse. What's that have to do with Christ? I'm talking about having the heartbeat. They're looking for a heartbeat. And if the church is alive, not only will we feel Christ, but we'll forgive like Christ. Have a heart for people. Can I tell you this? Forgiveness and love. Now you may disagree with me, and I apologize. I don't mean to make anybody upset. But forgiveness and love is not about inclusion. God showed me that this week. He said we've got the wrong terminology when we're talking about the Church of the Living God. Saying that because they are who they are, we should include them in the church. No. You can't. If you want to live a godless life, and if you want to live a life apart from God, I love you with all my heart. And I look at you as a soul that needs saving, but you're not getting into the Church of the Living God without repenting of your sins and asking Jesus to come into your heart. Then you can be included. But the word whosoever applies to you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Everyone's included to receive Christ. But to get into the Church of the Living God, you need to ask forgiveness and have a repentant heart. And us as a church, if we see people being forgiven, it's our responsibility to be a forgiving people as well. Personal touch. They're looking for a pulse. Thirdly, notice they use light to make sure their pupils are reacting. What's light used for? Light is used to make sure that, you know, if they don't feel a pulse, the next thing they'll open their eyes and they'll put a light in front of them to make sure their pupils are reacting. If there's some reaction at all, there's probably still a form of life. You say, Brian, what does this have to do? This talks about not a feeling Christ or have a forgiving like Christ, but this talks about following Christ. Because it talks about the light. How do we react to the light? When the light is shown our way, how do we react to it? the light is there for us to follow. It gives us direction. And in these days in which we are living, you not need to make any decision without the leadership of the Holy Ghost and the leadership of the light. If the light is not shining on it, stay away from it. That's about as plain as I can tell you. And you say, how will I know if the light is shining on it? You'll be able to see it. And this is what I pray. I pray that your vision will be clear. I pray that the light of God will shine down. And I pray, hallelujah, that the others will grow dim and dark and you won't be able to see it. God will bring it to the forefront. Whatever decision you're making, whatever relationships you're thinking about getting into, listen, if the light is nowhere around, stay away. How do you react to the light? We are a living organism. We're not an organization. We are an organism living. So we need to act alive. React to the light. And finally, I want you to notice the last thing they do to try to make sure that there is life. A personal touch, they'll check the pulse, they'll check for the pupils. But notice this. Sometimes they say they use the old, they call it the old mirror trick. And what they'll do is they'll put a mirror underneath your nose to see if there's any breath there. And if there's any breath, it'll fog up the mirror. Yeah. See, what does that represent? That represents praise. And that represents focusing on Christ. You say, well, where do you get that? Well, I need some Bible readers, but the Bible says, Psalm 150, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord. So if we are living, if we are alive, then we need to focus our attention and our praise on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And in days like these, the world does not need to look at us and question if we are alive and question if we are part of his family. No, we should leave no doubt in their mind that we love the Lord with all of our heart and we're a part of the church of the living God. And some of you just flat out need to refocus back on Christ. The church is alive. And Rubyville is going to act alive. We are living in the last days. Jesus Christ is coming back. And now more than ever, it's time to stop playing games with God. It's time to stop living as close as you can to the edge of the cliff without falling off. No, it's time to get all in. It's time to sanctify yourself wholly to the will of God. It's time to say, God, I'm tired, sick and tired of being sick and tired. Sinner friend, it's time for you to get in. Jesus Christ is coming. And folks, if we are going to win people, we've got to focus on Jesus. And listen, I know I want to make some people mad right here, and I don't mean to. I really don't. I don't have a mean bone in my body. But some of you all watching right now need to get back to the house of God. Now, I'm not talking about those. I'm going to get in it. I'm sorry. Sorry, Lord, help me have a loving spirit. Some of you are high risk, and you haven't been anywhere since all of this happened. And I'm not saying by one mean, I'm not looking down upon you. How many times do we have to say it from this pulpit? We understand. But the problem is, those of you that want to do everything you want to do during the week, and they say you can't come to church on Sunday. Do anything you want to go. Do anything you want to do. There's a problem. And I've had to pray, God, give me a heart of love because I've been so disappointed in the way some of you have acted. And the way some of you need to get men of the house, need to be the man of the house. The husband and wife come together and say, we're going to the house of God. You're going to die right there in your homes. And don't go out of here saying, and family that watches, don't say you're trying to tell my mom and dad to come, my grandma and grandpa. No, I'm not saying that. If they're sick, it's common sense, folks. If you got a fever, you're contagious. Stay home. Amen. I'm about ready to close, and you're probably saying, thank God. But here's the problem. Jesus said, now this is what the Lord showed me. Jesus said, upon this rock, and I'll build my church, right? Here's what he said. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, listen, I think we're doing the best we can during this pandemic to make sure that the doors of this church stay open. In fact, I don't care what happens, we ain't never going to close because they can't shut us down. Nobody can. Nobody can. And I'm just not talking about the authority that God gives us. I'm talking about the government of this nation gives every church the right to assemble. They cannot shut us down. Here's what the Lord says, and the gates of hell shall not prevail, right? We always say that and we always shout, woo! But what's that mean? What are gates used for? They're to keep somebody out. You know what we've been doing as a church for the last year? I'm talking about the Church of the Living God. We've been playing defense. And Jesus said, when it comes to fighting the enemy, you don't play defense, you play offense. And it's time for the Church of the Living God to start being offensive in the way we come at Satan. Hey, the gates of hell shall not prevail. When Jesus and his followers come attacking the gates of hell, thank God they will not stand. Bless God, it's time for us to march into the gates of hell and say, give me back what you've stolen. It's time for us to be offensive. In our worship, offensive in our praise, offensive in our attitude. Defense may win championships, but it ain't what's built for the house of God. The house of God is built on offense, and it's time for us to take the ball and start rolling. And hey, I thought about playing this tonight, I'll just go ahead and say it. Da-da-da-da-da-da! Charge! It's time for us to charge the gates of hell and say hallelujah. We are alive. We are alive. We are alive. The church is alive. So let the church be the church. Let the people rejoice. For we've settled the question. We've made our choice. Let the anthems ring out. Songs of victory swell, for the church triumphant is alive and well. This ship has been through battles before, the storms and the tempests and all the rocks on the shore. Though the hull may be battered, inside it's safe and dry. It's going to carry its cargo to the port in the sky. God has always had a people. Many a foolish conqueror has made the mistake of thinking that because he had forced the church of Jesus Christ out of sight, that he had stilled its voice and snuffed out its life. But God has always had a people. The powerful current of a rushing river is not diminished because it's forced to flow underground. Now the purest water is the stream that bursts crystal clear into the sunlight after it has been forced its way through the solid rock. There have been those who, like Simon the magician, sought to barter on the open market that power which cannot be bought or sold. But God has always had a people. Men who could not be bought and women who were beyond purchase. God has always had a people. There have been times of affluence and prosperity when the church's message has been nearly diluted into oblivion by those who sought it to make it socially attractive, neatly organized, financially profitable. But God has always had a people. Yes, it's been gold-plated, draped in purple, and encrusted with jewels. It has been misrepresented, ridiculed, lauded, and scorned. But God has always had a people. And these followers of Jesus Christ have been, according to the whims of time, elevated sacred leaders and modern heretics. Yet through it all, the marches on that powerful army of the meek. God's chosen people who cannot be bought, blabbered, murdered, or stealed. On through the ages they march. The church, God's church triumphant. Listen, child of God, The church is alive. Discouraged pastor, it's his church and it's still alive. Lonely missionary, sow that seed with confidence. The church is still alive. Old saint, you are not alone or forgotten. The church is still alive. It's alive, my brokenhearted friend. The church is still alive. Busy mothers, keep trusting in Jesus. The church is still alive. You're not alone out there, student. Just keep looking to Jesus. The church is still alive. Faithful fathers, there's rest in the Lord because the church is still alive. So family of God, lift your hands. Praise the Lord. The church, the church, the church, God's church triumphant is still alive. Let the church be the church. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. And we are alive and we are well. So I want to encourage you tonight. Some of you just need to get things right with God. Some of you have been wishy-washy. Some of you living as close as you can to the edge and try to make it in. I'd hate to be you on Judgment Day. God's coming back for a clean and spotless church. Amen. Sinner friend, you're here tonight. And if you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, you're in the right place. He is here. He is here. And you're included in whosoever. But if you want to be included in the church of the living God, you need to come and ask God to save you. Ask God to change your life. Not one of us know if our name will be next on that list. I'm glad to know under the authority of the Word of God, if you read my name in the paper tomorrow or this week, I'm ready. I'll be more alive than I've ever been before. Why? Because I'm a part of the church.